We open our Bibles again tonight, this time to Philippians chapter 3. We'll read God's Word together, the entire chapter, Philippians chapter 3, in our text for the evening are the last two verses of the chapter. God's Word in Philippians chapter 3, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, to write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Now may God bless His Word to our hearts. As I said, the last two verses in this chapter will be our text tonight. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have gathered together in the house of God in the last hours of this year that we might strengthen our souls and that we might be built up in God's Holy Word. The spirit of the Antichrist is advancing in our nation. The one of whom the Scripture warns us in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, the one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, or that we could translate, that is sacred. Antichrist is making his advance in our country, Our country unravels morally. Our country plunges itself into every type of evil. It flaunts and multiplies its transgressions before God. And then, looking globally, we see the whole world tonight as it's in great unrest, with economic disasters and bombings and murders in malls and in schools. We see in the world and in our country the coming of the man of sin, the Antichrist. When we look at ourselves over the past year, then we see also that we have gone through many trials, many struggles, the extent of which we did not know when we worshiped in God's house on New Year's a year ago. And God has shown Himself faithful. More than faithful, He has shown Himself good to us in all of our ways. And yet we have gone through death, cancer, sickness, sins, troubles in our lives, in our families, in our marriages. We have been reduced at times to tears, and we have been at times tempted to despair. And it would be easy for us to say tonight, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The world is going to sin, and we endure suffering. But our text is very positive. We have hope. We have confidence. We have a perfect joy. For our citizenship, the word conversation in verse 20, for our conversation, should be translated, the meaning is, for our citizenship is in heaven. We belong through Jesus Christ to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. This does not deny our citizenship in the United States of America. It does not mean that we disregard its laws. It does not mean that we do not fulfill our obligations to our earthly country. It does not mean that we will pull in our head as a turtle pulls in his head and fail to do good when it is in our power to do it. Fail to testify to this nation of our Lord Jesus Christ, but this world is not our home. We are passing through. The citizenship that we have in heaven will never pass away. The kingdom to which we are going tonight has never been stronger. It is constantly now, says Jesus, advancing, expanding, and growing as the Son of God is gathering His church out of the world. The truth and the righteousness of the country, the heavenly country to which we belong, is an everlasting truth and an everlasting righteousness. The builder of our country is God. It is eternal in the heavens. And we have citizenship tonight in that everlasting kingdom of God. Paul is writing to Christians in the Roman Empire, Christians in Philippi, in Macedonia. And you would not call where Philippi was situated, you would not call that land the Bible Belt. But in that land too, the spirit of Antichrist showed himself strong as these Christians were attacked for their faith. In their Christian life, they stood out different from the world. Ungodliness sought to engulf them and to quiet them and to destroy the church. And to them, says the apostle, our citizenship is in heaven, to strengthen them, to motivate them, to inspire them. And so to us comes this word of God tonight. Our citizenship is in heaven. Let's look at the reality or the fact of this. Let's look at the responsibility that this gives to us now. And finally, the realization of this in the return of Jesus Christ. For our citizenship is in heaven. It begins with the declaration of fact from God. We must hear this. God is saying to you, God is saying to all those who belong to Jesus Christ by grace, by a true faith in Christ, this verse has your name written upon it. Our citizenship is in heaven. Paul is referring to every believer in Christ. Our citizenship is now in heaven. He is not saying to us that one day when we get to heaven at last, we will be citizens of heaven then, when our eyes open in eternal glory. But Paul is saying to us, the Spirit says, right now, tonight, as it seems to us, we are very far from that eternal home in the heavens. And when it seems to us, even at times, that we are far from the throne fixed in heaven, from the throne of God. Even though tonight we are breathing the air of this world and our feet are on this soil and we are in this present wicked world and we are subject to death and to sin and to sorrows and to all kinds of sufferings, even for Jesus' sake, yet there is that land fair and glorious, the land of Jesus Christ, of which eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and it has not entered into the heart of man to conceive its glory. And tonight we are, through Jesus Christ, citizens of that kingdom of heaven. We belong to it. We have all of its rights. We have all of its privileges. We have the protection of its king. The word citizenship would have been very familiar to the Philippians. Remember, just think about it. What citizenship, Roman citizenship, meant in that first century. It would tell them, the word citizenship would speak to them of someone who, from their experience, lived in a colony, in a province, in a foreign land, a land that had been conquered by Roman legions, that had been annexed to Rome. Macedonia, where Philippi was located, was a Greek city named after Philip of Macedonia, a Greek king, and it had fallen to the Romans, and it had become a Roman colony. And to be in that colony a Roman citizen, to have the right of citizenship in that colony, was something coveted. Citizenship in Rome was something that they sought. They would begin to copy the lifestyle of the Romans, not the people of the land. They would want to learn the language of Rome, Latin. They would begin to copy the architecture of Rome in their city. They would begin to take on the ideas and the laws of Rome. They would begin to follow the worship of Rome, the worship of the Caesars. Oh, to the earthly person of Philippi in the first century, to be a Roman citizen, it was something valued. It was something very expensive to obtain. They wanted to look like, they wanted to act like, they wanted to talk like, they wanted to worship like a Roman. And so the Philippians would exactly catch the force of the apostles' words, our citizenship is in heaven. We are now in the world as a colony of the people of God. But our home, our Father's land, is above heaven, the glorious and the infinite throne of God. That's our identity. That's our honor tonight. Our names, by the grace of God, are written down in heaven in the book of life. Our citizenship is written in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been born again by the Spirit of Christ unto a life, not of this world. The life that we have in Christ when we were regenerated and that we know through faith is not of this world. It is of that world in heaven. We have that life in us tonight. And by that life, says Paul, we seek the things that are above, that are at the right hand of God. We conform ourselves to that which is above, not to the world below. In that kingdom, in heaven, we have loved ones who are walking with Christ there now. And now our life is expressed in these words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. We are an outpost. We are a colony of the kingdom of God on earth. And as tonight this world develops in sin, it comes under the judgments of God and will pass away. Our citizenship is in heaven. Though we are earthly citizens of the United States and subject to her law and faithful citizens, and though in the coming year we want to live as Christians doing the will of God in this country, our citizenship is in heaven. Our allegiance, our loyalty is to Father's throne. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Its life, the life of the world, its goals, its standards, its language is not ours. We read in John 18:36, Jesus' words, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus prayed, John 17, verse 14, "Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Young people, our calling as Christians is not to outwardly Christianize the world, to conform Christ to this world. But our calling before the world is to call them out of the world, to Christ. We are to have our boat in the water, but we must not have the water of the world in our boat. None of the world's systems, none of the world's desires and pursuits are to be in us. But we have this relationship to the world. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers," that word means aliens, "scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." And again, in chapter 2, 1 Peter 2, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I urge you as strangers, as aliens, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We are spiritual aliens in this world of sin. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are foreigners here below. We are heading to a different country. We have a different king. We have a different love. We live by a different law. We have a different life. It is all from above, from heaven. It's all of God. It's all of Christ. It's the eternal life of heaven. This is a fact. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our text teaches us that with this grace comes a responsibility. From whence, we read, also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. While our feet are on this ground of this earth, while our body is here, while we are citizens of the United States, our hearts
our eyes, our hopes are elsewhere. As the world develops in its sin and grows darker and darker, and bombs and blood and fears on every side, and as men's minds are filled with every way of sin, or men are clutching themselves in fear, in this present world tonight, our hearts are looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior. As the world and our society goes up in smoke under the judgments of God, as it plunges itself into the perversions of ungodliness, we focus more and more upon the second coming of the Lord Jesus, from whence, says the Apostle, that is, from heaven, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That word look, as it's translated in our text, is translated too mildly. It should be translated eagerly expect. It's a very intense word. It's not simply a look or a glance, but it is to look forward to something. It has in it the idea of strength, of patience, of endurance, of tenacity. It has the idea of the five wise virgins who kept oil in their lamps, who kept their lamp burning. It's used, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 1:7, waiting for the coming, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are waiting for the glory of Christ to burst from heaven upon this earth. Our responsibility as the citizens of the kingdom of heaven is to wait moment by moment for heaven's King to return. Jesus said, Matthew 13:33, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." And what I say to you, I say to all, said Jesus, watch. Jesus said, Luke 17:35, "Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left." On that day when Jesus comes, there will be the final separation of the people of the world and the citizens of the kingdom. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we must live on red alert. Not green, not orange, not yellow, red. We must not allow ourselves to be influenced by the world. We must not settle down. We must not be controlled by the thinking of the world, the pursuits of the world. We are no longer of this world. Keep your eye upon heaven. Keep your eye upon the door of heaven. For the Son of God, our King, has His handle on the door of heaven, and soon He will open that door and He will appear in all of His glory. Waiting for the coming of Christ, the King from heaven, has a sanctifying effect. The world is trying to squeeze us into its mold. The world is trying to compress us into its values, that our life, that our pursuits, that the way that we think, our ambitions, are all of the world. We must keep our eye upon Jesus. This alone will purify our lives. When we stumble into sin, it's because we are not looking for the return of Christ. If we were, we would let the world go, and we would clasp by faith the hand of our Savior. 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, abide in Christ." tender union with Christ, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Not be ashamed. Have you ever thought, where will I be when the trumpet sounds? In the twinkling of the eye, when the Lord, if we are alive on the earth at that moment, and He is coming, or if the Lord comes for us in death, maybe sudden death, maybe on the way to school, on a snowy morning when your mind is not thinking about death. Have you ever asked yourself, when the Lord comes for me, what will my heart be set on? What will I be pursuing? When I stand before Him, will my first impulse want to be my last conscious thought that I am ashamed of Him? Or will I be prepared at that moment to say, Rabboni, my Master? 1 John 3, 2 and 3, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who has this hope purifieth himself as he is pure. We cannot live a backslidden life. We have no time tonight for indifference. Our hearts must be as a flame for God. Our lives must be a witness for Christ. We must spend time. Are we spending time in the Word and in prayer? Are we walking daily in fellowship with Christ? 2 Peter 3, verse 11, Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? Why would we live and be controlled by things and by the world, since it's all going up in smoke? The proverb or the saying is, why would a person spend his time arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic? There's only one alternative to spending your life, your whole life, arranging chairs on the Titanic as it's going down. Pointless. The only alternative to that is looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's one or the other. This is our responsibility. Christ tonight is fulfilling the counsel of our Heavenly Father. Soon that counsel shall be complete according to God's determination. His words are, Behold, I come quickly. I am rushing to complete the counsel of God. The archangel prepares his horn to be blown. Antichrist is coming. The place of godliness and of the church will be narrow in this coming year, and the world will continue relentlessly to snuff out and to destroy the gospel of the Word of God and those who confess it. Where are we? We must not be on the sidelines. We must not be passive spiritually. We must not be a spectator in the Christian faith. We must hear personally tonight the voice of the Lord calling, Come unto me, forsake the world. Come out from among her. I want you to notice with me that responsibility is directed to the true members of the Church of Jesus Christ. I want just to say a brief word on the context tonight, because the context tells us that our text, beginning at verse 20, is a strong contrast. The strong contrast here is between those who said that they were Christians and those who truly were Christians. And the word "for" is intended to draw a very sharp and clear line for everyone to see. In verses 18 and 19, Paul is speaking of many in the church. He says, "I have told you often about them, and I tell you with weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and who glory in their shame, who mind earthly things." Paul is not talking there about atheists. He's talking about those who were in the Church of Christ. He says, "They break my heart. They crush me to tears. They confess the name of Christ, but they live the way they want. They are the group who says that grace means license to sin. Their God is their belly," says Paul. He's very blunt. Your belly is when you get appetite. What they worship is their appetites, their wants, their lusts. And they say, "We can, because Christ, after all, has paid it all. So don't talk to me about duty. Don't talk to me about the Christian life and the obligations of the Christian life. If you talk to me like that, I throw out my hands." I said, no, it's all about grace, and I can do what I want." Paul says, they are the enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul says, they continue that way, they will end up in hell. They continue in that way of no restraint, no repentance before their lusts. And then Paul says, they mind earthly things. Their life, when you peel it down to their heart, their life is about the earth. This present earth, that's it. What they can enjoy, what they can have, what they are. And then in contrast, Paul says, for our citizenship is in heaven. He's making a distinction between the citizen of heaven and the citizen of the world. We cannot merge with their language, that is, the way they talk and what they want when they talk, their pursuits. Our language and our talk and our heart in Christ is different from the world. That doesn't mean that we withdraw in world flight as a little group. We are in the world. We have a responsibility before Christ to bring the gospel always in our lives, to show forth Christ Jesus. But our motto is not, when in Rome, do as the Romans. While we're in the earth, live as the people of the world. That's not our motto. We belong to another world, and we're looking for Him to whom we belong, and we're looking for Him tonight to return. We're traveling to a different land. We're walking on a different path. We want Him to come, because when He comes, our citizenship will be full and final. It will be realized. God is not going to leave us in the quagmire of this world. God is not going to forget us. We will not perish in destruction with this world. He's coming back for us. He's coming back for us in death, when an entrance will be given to you, says Peter, into the heavenly kingdom
That's what death is, an entrance into the heavenly kingdom. When He takes us at the end, when He appears into the eternal city, built in righteousness and holiness, the city of love, the city of glory. Paul says, He will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things to Himself. When He comes, Jesus Christ is going to transform our bodies. The idea of the body is very prominent. We won't take time to show that, but that's very prominent in this chapter. He's going to redeem our bodies. And He's going to take us to a far better land, a heavenly land, Beulah land. We can't live now in that land with these bodies. We can't walk on the streets of gold with the body as it is now, because it is a vile body. That is, it's a corruptible body. It has the sin, curse of sin upon the body. Our bodies now are subject to death. But yet the Lord will raise that body because He is the Savior. The false members in the church at Philippi said, it did not matter what you do with the body, because it's just going to go back to the dust. The false members were saying, you can party hard with the world. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you hear. It's just the body. And Paul stiff-arms it and says, oh, yes, it does matter. For He will change our body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Paul says He wants it all. He bought it all on the cross. And He will bring your body to heaven as the realization, the full realization of your citizenship. He will make it like to the glorious body of Jesus Christ, the resurrection body of Christ, which was His body. And as my feet have stood upon the soil of this earth, our feet shall stand upon the soil of eternal life. Our skin will feel the breezes of heaven. Our eyes will behold its beauty. Our nose will smell its aroma. We will be changed in our body. Be very careful what you do with your body. We are the citizens of heaven. You will be made precisely like Jesus' body. There will be no sickness. There will be no cancer cells. No diabetes, no migraines, no weakness, no odors, no decay, no death. But eternal life in the body. And we will stand in the presence of God with fullness of eternal joy, full citizenship. Not a citizenship in absentia. Not an honorary citizenship, but a citizenship of body and soul, to inherit the new heavens and the new earth when Jesus comes. You say to me, really? Really? Can that be? Really? Listen. According to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things to Himself. We have really no idea of the power of Jesus Christ.
of him who said, "Let there be light." And it was so. And he will say, "Rise from the dead." He will take us, soul in death, body and soul in the resurrection. He will say, "Come." He knows your DNA code. He wrote it. And by the power whereby tonight he is able to subject all things to himself. Right now, tonight, he is subjecting all things unto himself, unto the glory of his Father. He's working out the Father's counsel. He is accomplishing God's counsel for time by the power that is invested into the Son of God at the right hand of God. By that power, we will have full citizenship in the kingdom of light and beauty, and there will be no sin. We will serve God. We will gather in fellowship at the tree of life. We will worship in the temple of God. We will be with Him. That's our hope tonight. We do not need more people living for the world. We need to live as the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We do not need world-loving, lukewarm, but committed, sincere, full of hope, waiting for Christ, Christians. We need patriots, loyal, strong in prayer, strong in Scripture, waiting for Jesus Christ to come. For I am not of this world, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given me citizenship in his kingdom, and I will have it perfectly when he comes for me. And so we pray the last hours of the night. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. We thank thee for thy word. We asked that we might hear, be instructed, and encouraged by thy word. The word was spoken in sin and weakness. May the Spirit of Christ, who is able to subdue all things to himself, may he bring it to our hearts and make it our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.